Out of net, call Bernie 581-7920. That's the Bernie Sargent. It's a 915 area code if you're out of the area. We had a listener earlier from Arizona. We do have people from around the country tuning into this. But also another person to talk about who is on Facebook and doing good stuff with El Paso history, Barbara Given Bainey. She's an operator of the great Facebook page called Remember in El Paso When. Crazy name, but it works. And so she has archives, a bazillion archive pictures. And remember, if you use their stuff, you have to credit them basically where you can. And another administrator working with Barbara on the Facebook page, Remember in El Paso When, is Nick Prime. And also, shout out to moderator Ken Weiss. He is part of that mess over there, too. And it's a good mess, shall we say. All right, a lot going on here about these books here, Phil Stover. I think you're going to stir up some people with this, because has anybody ever really addressed this kind of stuff?
Not that I know of. Not there's always a chapter or five pages on religion in history books, but nothing to the extent that we've tried to go into it.
Well, so for an overview, somebody may not have heard the first hour. Give an idea of what it is that you're doing here with various things. You've got the history of Mexico all the way up through your books cover what?
Well, basically from the conquest up to World War II.
So the conquest being 1598.
Yeah.
Well,
1520.
20, more likely.
Approximately, yeah.
And that was Cortez showing up with horses.
Right. The religious implications of that.
And priests.
Are interesting. Yes, he brought Franciscan priests with him. Yes.
And so what was the two-step punch, was it not? I mean, you had the army to enforce what the king of Spain wanted. But what he wanted was to convert the locals into being a Catholic. So they're a little bit more malleable and say, okay, work in my fields here, that kind of thing.
And that was interesting because Spain had never conquered a non-Anglo area before. So they did not know what to do with the Mexicans, natives that they found. So first thing that had to happen, and it's tragic and sad and humorous at the same time, if something can be that, is the powers that be within the church had to decide if the Mexican natives had souls.
Oh, boy.
Did they have souls or not? If they did not have souls, then there was no point in trying to convert them. So, but the decision was made that they had souls, and then the Franciscan folks came down to work hard to do the converting work.
And did it mostly work?
The great debate among historians today is to what degree were the conversions coercive, and to what degree were they cooperative? Those
right.
are the two terms that are used.
You find it'd be a good idea to listen to the priest, the other guys shoot you.
Yeah, and within the religion of the natives, there was enough mythology that might have led them to cooperate with these folks, who may have been the return of some of the original deities of the Mexican native people.
Go back to the original forecast that the natives had. They said some savior kind of guy would show up on this date, yeah. And then that's when Cortez popped up?
Well, Cortez comes from the east. The person was supposed to come from the east. He was supposed to be light-skinned or white, and he was light-skinned or white. So he was light-skinned or white. So there were religious implications in the very initial part of the conquest, not just from the Catholic perspective, but from the indigenous religion.
They said our guy has showed up
to some degree,
because the date was correct. Isn't that what happened?
There is a lot of speculation. It was mythology, but yet there are a lot of folks that believe that aided. Without those religious myths in the native tradition, he never could have conquered them.
Well, he had like 200 soldiers with guns, right? Something like that?
Yeah, and then he had several thousands of allies of the other tribes who didn't like the Aztecan people.
But originally, so, he could have gotten wiped out even with guns.
They could have wiped him out the first day.
But they didn't, because they thought he was some big dude god thing. Jeezy peasy.
So
that's an amazing piece of history.
It's a religious implication that goes beyond the Catholic implication to the actual indigenous religions.
Amazing stuff.
That seemed to be the same thing that happened throughout the world with religion as such, as that was kind of used here in South America. It was used in Africa, mm-hmm. many different places where they went. They would work their religion into their religion or their practices.
It's called syncretism. It's called syncretism. And volume three, my works are actually going to be a three-volume set. Volume three, which is not out yet, is only deals with syncretism between how did the Catholics, the Pentecostals have been amazingly successful in Mexico and in the borderlands here, all along the Texas border. And why were they so successful? Yeah. They were brilliant at syncretism. The Catholics used it. The Mormons have used it in their conversion attempts. So it's a very interesting concept, and that'll be volume three. Now, I'm not trying to. It's a year and a year out before it'll.
Well,
come
you got to
so.
Go to school first.
So yeah, I'm going to school at the same time.
Oh my!
And I'm 70 years old.
Gotta get that cap and gown on again.
Get that started up.
I may be the oldest graduate in the history of one of the oldest universities in the world.
And you're going to England to study Mexican history.
Yeah, I have to go a few times. I don't have to go too often. I get to do the research here.
Oh, okay.
And
that helps.
And they're requiring a research program from me that I'll do in Mexico.
But see, you may be the oldest student, but the school's a lot older. So.
The school's a lot older.
See,
yes.
I'm making you feel young.
Well, give an overview, if you would, of what is the second book.
Okay.
You've got the first book we talked about in the first hour.
Right. The second book is about external forces on Mexican culture and on the revolution. The first chapter is the one that I enjoyed writing the most, and it's something that no one, to my knowledge, has ever done. And it is, how did the personal religious beliefs of U.S. senior politicians and diplomats impact their policy towards Mexico?
Oh, boy.
Personal religious beliefs.
I bet it
now.
Did.
And it certainly did. And I have just three quick examples for you.
Sure.
Woodrow Wilson was a Presbyterian. He was a Calvinist. And as a Calvinist, the idea that God is in control, God has everything pre-planned, impacted his policies very much. And he was very engagement, like with the military in Mexico, but he was very pro proselytizing. So he did a lot of things with missionaries. The Mormons were mad at him a number of times because he didn't engage enough when they were in trouble here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they wanted intervention. They wanted the military to come, and he did not, you know, send the military. Next, William Jennings Bryan. William Jennings Bryan was an outright fundamentalist. He was a Cumberland Presbyterian, which is the most conservative form of Presbyterian in the United States. And he came to Mexico probably more than any other senior diplomat in the U.S. Diplomatic history of the relationships. He loved Mexico. So he loved to proselytize because he was a fundamentalist.
Didn't he have a speech across the gold?
Yes.
That was him?
Yeah.
Across the gold. What was that speech about? You remember offhand?
No.
That's not part of your history.
But he was a member. He did a lot of speechifying back in the day, and he was brilliant at giving speeches. And that's why he won elections and ran so many times for president, which he never won.
Right.
But yet he was a good orator. The third person, J. Reuben Clark. He's kind of a hidden person. J. Reuben Clark was the senior lawyer, the solicitor for the Department of State for many, many years. As such, he wrote the legalese for all the State Department, the secretaries of state, on how they would formalize relationships, treaties, that kind of a thing. He was a very high-ranking LDS person. He actually became, later on in his life, an apostle in the Mormon church. And he was Dwight Morrow. Dwight Morrow gets all the credit as the U.S. ambassador to Mexico for writing the modus vivendi that ended the First Cristero War and got the Catholic Church and the government together. Well, that was really written by J. Reuben Clark, who as a Mormon, had a high regard for the native Mexican people, seeing them as Lamanites. And in the Mormon theological tradition, the Lamanites are the lost children of Israel.
Oh.
And they have a very special place in LDS history. So here's a man who was a lawyer, hidden, but then he also became Dwight Morrow's chief legal person in the embassy here in Mexico and lived here.
Where did most of the Mennonites come from?
Most of the Mennonites that are in Chihuahua came from Canada.
Canada.
They came here from Canada, and they came right after World War I because the Canadian laws changed. They were no longer able to have private schools. They couldn't teach religion, and they had to serve in the Canadian military. and that was an anathema.
So they skipped right across the U.S.
They skipped across. They sent out six elders. The elders decided southern Mississippi or Chihuahua.
Really?
Those were the two finalists.
Yes.
And they chose Chihuahua because Alvaro Obregón, the great revolutionary general and president of Mexico, gave them five rights in perpetuity if they would come and colonize Chihuahua. Chihuahua was devastated in 1920. Every fence had been torn down to build fires for revolutionary armies.
Oh.
One out of every eight men in Chihuahua was killed as a result of the Mexican Revolution in Chihuahua. So they needed immigrants. And Obregón was a little bit of a racist. He wanted Anglo immigrants. So he gave these Anglo agricultural farmer people rights in Mexico that no Mexican at that time had.
Did he give them to the Mormons also?
No, he did not.
Just the Mennonites?
Just the Mennonites. The Mormons were already there.
Where were the Mormons mostly settled?
Where?
Well, they were both in Durango and Chihuahua.
The Mormons settled in Sonora and Chihuahua.
Sonora
and Chihuahua. They had 10 colonies. Three of them were in Sonora and seven of them in Chihuahua, although those numbers differ depending who you're asking. So they came earlier. They came for two reasons. They came as a result of the persecution they were experiencing in the United States due to their plural marriage.
Right.
Their men were going to jail because the U.S. was enforcing the laws that had not previously been enforced. And it was all about statehood as well in Utah. They wanted to become a state. They were still a territory. And they wanted to resolve the polygamy question so that could be out of the way for mm-hmm. them becoming a state. Then the second reason the folks came was to proselytize. That was Moses Thatcher, the original apostle. He dedicated Mexico to the gospel of the Mormon Church. And so they came down as folks to do proselytization. The revolution got in the way, and it wasn't until the 1930s that the Mexican colonists really started proselytizing a whole lot in Mexico.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing story, that whole area.
Yeah, it is. So that story of the Mennonites and the Mormons is in Volume 2. Because they're an Anglo influence that came from outside Mexico and have had a huge impact on northern Mexico. Now, more economically, probably.
How many people are we talking about here?
Today or when they first came?
The first wave or two.
The first wave of Mormons was in 1885, there were hundreds that came. By the time they got to about 1904, there were probably 3,000 in the colonies. Today, there are, because of the exodus and the revolution and some of the trauma they experienced, there are fewer Anglo Mormons, but there are far, far more Mexican Mormons because of the proselytizing effort. The Mormon Church says that there's about 1.4 million Mormons in Mexico.
One of the interesting things we were talking about the break earlier was that the federal government of Mexico invited the Mormons also because of their expertise in agriculture, of what
correct.
They had done in Utah, because Utah
correct.
Basically was a desert area, and they made that a paradise in a sense.
Yes.
And so that was an interesting, but like I said, they didn't bother, which is not uncommon, tell the state or the locals that they were bringing these people in.
Yeah. Sylvester Quevedo, the jefe politico of Casas Grandes, he discovered all of a sudden one morning that there were 400 armed Anglos at 30 miles north of his town. And he had no idea what they were there for. And there were still people. Remember, this is 1885. There were still people alive that went through the war, the invasion
in the
1840s. So and he was horrified. The interim governor of Chihuahua, father, was an invalid from his wounds in the Mexican-American war. So when they discovered this, he gave the Casas Grandes Politico wrote the governor. The governor wrote a letter and said, you have 15 days to leave. If you don't leave in 15 days, we're going to kill you. So he gave the Mormons 15 days to leave. Well, they panicked and went to Mexico City within those 15 days. And they went to see Pacheco, which is why they called one of their colonies Pacheco. And they went to see Diaz personally. And he said, well, I've told those people in Chihuahua, you're allowed to be there. You know, they shouldn't be surprised. I sent them a letter. Well, we don't know.
We know how that works.
But anyway, they intervened from the federal government. And the same thing happened 40 years later with the Mennonites. They showed up, and they had purchased the Zuluaga Hacienda, the big in Bustillos, which is now Cuauhtemoc, third largest city in Chihuahua. They show up, and the locals are all saying, we fought in the revolution, we're going to get this land because it was promised to us. Oh. And they found out it was sold to these
Anglos
coming in from another country. And so they gave the Mennonites a terrible time. There were murders of Mennonites, rapes of Mennonite women during those early
days. This guy talking here is Phil Stover. And he is an author of books called The Search for the Soul of Mexico. One of them is Religion and Revolution, and now the second one, The Search for the Soul of Mexico, The Anglo Quest for Naboth's Vineyard. We should figure out what that is in the remaining part of this show, because he's going to have a bunch of books out there at Pepe's today, which you can purchase. He will sign them, and they're great gifts for, you know, holiday coming up here. And if you want to know about Mexico and how it got where it is, this seems like one of the pieces of the puzzle that we need to know.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's that patchwork quilt. I think that's kind of what you look at Mexico. It's a patchwork quilt of peoples.
It's got a core of the original Spaniards and locals, and then from then on it just went crazy.
Well, it's kind of like the United States in many ways. You have so many different cultures and peoples that have come through and settled. And
right. And the great changes in the religious landscape of Mexico began during this time, during the revolution, really. It actually began when President Sebastian Lerdo said, I am going to put in the Constitution religious freedom. There is no more the Catholic Church is the official church of – that didn't happen until 1873. Well, the floodgates opened, and the Protestants came. So today, according to the Mexican census, 83% of Mexican people self-identify as Catholic. That's the lowest percentage ever. The fastest-growing faith group in Mexico are the Pentecostals.
Yeah,
you will see little churches called Hermanos all over little towns everywhere in the Sierra Madre and everywhere else. They're Pentecostal affiliated churches. Some of the biggest churches in El Paso are in the same tradition as well, and all along the borderlands.
And you probably had to watch out for those Baptists. They showed up too, didn't they?
Yeah, well, they were ornery. Yeah, I went to Baptist seminary, so I can say that.
We're going
to
talk about this a little more, but we're going to have some trivia. Are you ready for
trivia?
That?
Yes, I am.
Okay, fire away, because this is your moment.
Okay. The first question we have is, a majority of the Mennonites came from what country?
To get to Mexico?
Yeah, to get to Mexico.
Okay.
And initially, what were the states of Mexico the Mormons mostly settled in Mexico?
You got two to pick from?
Yeah, I've got two to pick from.
Okay, fair enough. Those are the questions.
That's right.
And you get stuff.
You get Amigos! $20 at Amigos, yes.
Don't forget Amigos. I mean, that's a great
place. It's a great place to go. Great, a cool little place to go to also. And also you have a $20 gift certificate that we're giving away for the next day. Well, you got your choice on the first question. And then also you have, that's for Mission Del Rey Southwest. And so you have those choices. So
Mission Del Rey is a worthy place. If you haven't figured that out yet, go out there. And this is a good season to go.
Yeah, it's a good season. And it contributes to also to the Tahamada Indians.
I dare you walk in and say, I heard on the radio. You get a discount if I say I heard it on the radio.
Yeah.
See what happens.
And it's a family-owned business. They're neat people.
And if it won't work, blame Melissa.
Yeah, blame me.
Fair enough.
Everybody does.
Call us up if you want to play. All the lines are full, but give it a shot.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Great Mexican food, steaks, chicken, and salads with draft beer and margaritas by the pitcher at Amigos Full Bar. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry, we're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexican items for gifts and decor. Fun Southwest holiday shopping for the family. Bring your friends. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com for directions to Mission Del Rey Southwest.
If you know the value of good machines, then it's high time we got together. We're Bailey Industrial, builders of metal and woodworking equipment. Hardworking machines for hardworking people. We stand behind our equipment and make sure our equipment stands behind you with the after-sales support you need to keep your shop running smoothly, which means making sure you have what you need when you need it, typically shipping within 72 hours or less. So whether you're a fabricator or manufacturer of metal or wood products, go to 920machine.com and we'll send you a catalog, over 400 pages of what you love most, machines. So whatever you're looking to build or manufacture, do it with Bailey Industrial, the company you can trust to give you the equipment and service you can rely on. Because if it's worth doing right, it's only right to do it with Bailey. Get the Machine Lover's Dream Catalog free by calling 920-MACHINE or go to 920machine.com. Get your free catalog while they last at 920-MACHINE.com.
If you're looking for a great-paying part-time job with flexible hours, check out 2020 Census Jobs. You may have another job, or not. You may even be retired or looking for some extra income, but you can also help make sure that everyone gets counted. So apply today at 2020census.gov/jobs to help strengthen your community.
The Kiwanis Clubs of El Paso have created a citywide project designed to display the American flag in front of thousands of homes and businesses during national holidays. Join this campaign to bring national and international attention to our city's love of country and proclaim El Paso America's most patriotic city. For further information, call 915-833-2269.
Let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, who's coming in next week, you asked?
I have no idea.
Tell me. November 30th, McGoffin Home is having a very merry holiday open house.
Yay.
And Michelle Wood will be here explaining what to expect out of that. Hour two, Mr. BS himself, Bernie Sargent, he's our guest to talk about El Paso history at the El Paso Museum of History. He's on one of their boards down there. So I said, what's going on down there? So let's find that out. December 7th, Alborrego is in the studio to talk about the connections between San Elizario and the Camino Real in Mexico. Because we look all the time toward New Mexico and like what happened in Albuquerque and all that with the casinos. Well, he went the other way looking at what happened. And
he got turned around, the road goes
both ways, so he looked at the other direction. Anyway, and he's on the 7th of December. December 14th, Sergio Lewis. And he's a hard G kind of guy, Sergio. He's Sergio Lewis.
Sergio.
He's
poet.
Our guest. And he's the man with the car body shop near the airport. That's how you know who he is.
That's right.
I dare you to call him up. And you know what, on his commercial, this is Norma Jean. She answered the phone.
She beats me up verbally.
Does she really? Yeah. Well, anyway, he's
what
coming.
What do you want?
In.
No, she's not.
Commissioner's
like
Court,
not really.
He was on that. Let's see what his take is on El Paso history. December 2-1. We're going to encapsulate the entire history of El Paso in 2 hours, and we're really going to do it this time. I believe it. Bernie's back. Mr. BS is back for that. Sure.
I'm just going to stay home.
Yeah, do that. What else? What else you got over there?
Well, speaking of the McGoffin Home, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas at the McGoffin Home. And the annual McGoffin Home Christmas Open House is going to be December 7th, 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. And you've got to go and see the decorated home for Christmas. They'll have activities for children, music, and refreshments. And Michelle will tell us more next week.
And that'll be fun to hear from her.
Yes, and also don't forget, they're going to have, you know, lots of things going on at the McGoffin Home this time of year, and it's a great place to take the family for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
And take a museum crawl this Thanksgiving weekend and walk off all those holiday calories during at all the museums in town.
Okay, you ready for Trivial?
I think so.
Trivia.
Trivia.
We got a main man on the phone here named Prince. The Prince. Dude, hey, what's happening?
Prince.
Hi there.
Hey.
I've got a couple of answers, and I've also got a question.
One answer, one question.
Okay, one answer. I would say a majority of the Mennonites came from what country?
I'm going to say Canada.
You got it. Okay. And what's the question?
Okay. The question for your guest is, the history tells us that the Mormons and the Mennonites came to Mexico, to northern Mexico, for farming and to practice their religion and way of life. And I'm wondering what other groups, I understood that there were some European groups that were invited during the Porfiriato to come to northern Mexico and settle like that. And my question is, what other groups came that settled? And I know that there was a lot of business ventures by Germans and British and so forth. But were there other groups that came for possibly religious freedom or just for land or what?
I'm aware of two other groups that came and said they were coming and didn't end up coming with full force. And the first group was from South Africa. There was a group of Boers who decided to come because there was some Boer involvement in the revolution on the Villista side. And they decided that they would come, and they did come, but they never established a large colony as the Mormons and the Mennonites did. The second group
was... So they did not come before the revolution. They came after the revolution.
They came, during...
Yeah, they
it depends on what years you say the revolution were, but they came post-1910.
Okay.
And then the second group that bought 45,000 acres in Chihuahua, north of Ojinaga, to come here was a group from Canada. They were Church of England. It was an interesting group, Church of England and Orthodox, combination of the Eastern Orthodox Church and a Church of England group. They had an apostle that bought 45,000 acres and to move here and to establish a settlement. They laid out the tracts. They bought the land. And Abraham Gonzalez, who was the governor of Chihuahua during the revolution up until the time he was killed, he put the kibosh on it. I'm not sure what kibosh means, but that's an old Mennonite expression.
He stopped it.
And they, but they were here. I mean, they had the wagons here, and it was a very interesting group because it was completely religious affiliated, kind of a new religion they were trying to make out of the Orthodox church theology and Anglican theology. And Abraham Gonzalez said no, and so he single-handedly, as the governor...
Wow, that would have been very progressive.
He negated the sale of the property.
There you are, Prince. Thanks for playing trivia, dude. You going to be at Pepe's today?
No, I can't make it.
We're going to eat your food. But you do get a choice. You get a choice here. What do you want? Would you like a Pepe's certificate?
How about Amigos?
Oh, that's true. I'm in the wrong...
Amigos, yes.
Would you like an Amigos certificate?
Amigos or did
I
you...
I would.
Would. Hey, that's a good idea. We happen to have a couple of those. Amigos.
Okay,
Amigos.
All right.
Prince, thanks
a lot.
Talk
to you later, Prince. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You take her easy. Also, now we're going to go to another trivia question with Tim.
Tim. Okay, our last question we have is initially, what states of Mexico did the Mormons mostly settle in?
You have two states you want?
Yeah, we've got two states. You can go for one or the other.
Is Tim there?
Tim? Good morning. I'm here.
Hi, Tim.
I thought it was Chihuahua and Cuauhtémoc.
Yes or no?
Chihuahua's correct. Cuauhtémoc's a city within Chihuahua. Yeah. There was another state.
That's okay. You got Chihuahua.
Should we give it to him?
Correct. Yeah, it was Chihuahua and Sonora, but you got Chihuahua. We'll let you go with that one. How's that, Tim?
Oh, that's beautiful.
So you get a coupon to Mission Del Rey Southwest.
How about them apples?
So you can start your Christmas shopping.
Cool.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, folks.
Hold on there.
Don't go
the
away. Shelly will tell you how to pick this up, all right?
Sure.
Thank you. And Shelly, line one is already ringing in. Hold on there.
We got a lot of good listeners
today. What happened to Robert? Robert took off.
Robert, don't go away.
Oh, my goodness. But this hour is for Amigos. Like I told
you,
I ate there twice this week.
You get confused, too.
Well, no, I ate.
We're all allowed to get confused.
Yesterday, I ran into Jim Tolbert down there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was kind of fun chatting with him. But also, the food there is fabulous.
Yes.
And so, to go walk and say, I want to meet Captain Hookie. And that's the guy that runs the place. His name is
You want to play Peter Pan?
Yeah, oh, no, I'm the crocodile. But no, his name is Hooky.
Yes.
And the last name is Apodaca.
So we get him a big clock and we put it in there.
It scares the heck out of him every time he hears that clock. But anyway, check it out down there, 2000 Montana. Great place for lunch. And so that's what we got there today. All right, moving on here. We should probably do that. Shelly, you got everything you need in there? She got coupons. She's got stuff going on. We should take a break and come back and do El Paso Inc., huh?
That's right.
544-whatever.
544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. And right now, get your first online visit totally free when you go to 4hims.com/joy. Sure beats paying for an in-office doctor's appointment, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need to deal with awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. Hims connects you to doctors online who can evaluate you and, if appropriate, prescribe the medication. And a pharmacy sends it right to your door. Hims makes it affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's 4hims.com/joy for your free online visit. forhims.com/joy.
PetSmart understands that sometimes your pet sounds like this when you want them to sound like this. We recommend giving them this. Delicious and nutritious American Canidae, two of the latest arrivals to PetSmart's selection of natural pet foods. Give your pets kibble, wet food, and treats from American Canidae. You want it? We got it. We're PetSmart. Save up to $2 on American Canidae dry food, in-store only while supplies last. See store for details.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, guess what's going on? You don't have to guess. We know.
We know this week
only in El Paso, Inc.
El Paso's birth rate is falling. What it means for the city's future.
88 days of recovery. How an El Paso girls soccer team healed a broken coach.
Should police arrest for low-level marijuana cases, and why the city of El Paso is considering a cite and release program.
They're selling marijuana in cases now. Okay.
Oh, cool.
El Paso's Business Journal is El Paso Inc. available for home or business delivery.
To read El Paso Inc. and to order your subscription, go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, the new Walmart Memorial is the August 3rd shootings. It's to the August 3rd shootings. It's unveiled this weekend. How's it looking and how is it received by the public?
Join host Saul Sines Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. right after the news.
We got Phil Stover here doing things here, and we got the lady who started all this, Cindy Medina, on the phone. Hey, Cindy.
There. How are you guys this morning?
Fine. How are you?
We've been surviving nicely. Have you been hearing any of what we're doing? Where are you anyway?
I'm in Fredericksburg right now on my way to El Paso. So I started early, and I was listening right now to the, you know, where the Mennonites came from and all that, Canada, for the most part. I was trying to call in during the trivia, but obviously
you guys
have a busy show. Busy, I know.
I knew the answers. We could have given her a coupon, I suppose. But in the meantime, you're not going to make it for lunch at Pepe's, are you?
No, I wish. because, you know, I've joined you before with Philip and the Castillo family and so forth, and it's always a great place to have lunch, so I'll miss it this time. But next time around, I'll be there with
you guys.
Well,
next time.
And thanks for setting this all up. We got Phil all queued up, ready to talk about stuff here. You want to continue on the phone here, or you want to just drop off and listen?
I just wanted to say something real quick.
Sure.
I know you're going to wrap up the show. I just wanted to congratulate Philip for all the great work that he does in educating us on the Mormon and Mennonite and Mexican Revolution. He will be in Chihuahua City on Monday, giving a talk over there, and as well on Tuesday for the Máximo Castillo descendant talk. And so I'm so excited for him, and just wanted to say hello to him as well.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
All righty, sir. Have a good one.
Thanks, Cindy.
Take care. Be careful driving back.
See you again.
Okay. All right. Take
care. Bye-bye. Cindy, and Cindy Medina, she sets up these kind of things and then goes away. But that's okay.
I mean, no, we'll have to have her in here.
No, she does a good stuff. She knows what she's doing.
I was looking at a Facebook page once with the pictures from Chihuahua, family pictures from Chihuahua.
Yeah, right.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Look at those old pictures. They're great.
We got a list of things we need to cover before we get out of here. Phil Stover, what's you got?
Okay, let me tell you about the vineyard. The name of the second book. In the subtitle of the second book, yeah, Naboth's Vineyard. In 1 Kings chapter 21 in the Old Testament, there's an account of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, who had a beautiful palace, and the palace looked out on a beautiful vineyard. They wanted to annex the vineyard to their regal royal properties, so they made an offer to a man named Naboth, who owned the vineyard. And he refused, and he said, "This is my family heritage. It's my patronage. I don't want to sell it." They then offered him more money, and he said no. They then offered him a bigger vineyard in its place, and he said no. And finally, they arranged for his death, and he was, killed, and they inherited as the royal family his vineyard.
Inherited?
Quote-unquote, inherited it. Yes, they took it. And
those words.
And that has been used before as a metaphor for U.S. relationships with Latin America generally. And,
yeah.
And I think it's very appropriate for Mexico. Well, Naboth's vineyard is a metaphor for Mexico. So the Anglo quest for Mexico, because Mexico had natural resources, it had converts waiting to become Protestant. And I'm speaking from a U.S. perspective.
Okay.
You know, not from my perspective, but that's how the U.S. government thought about it in the 1800s. So that's why the subtitle of the book.
And so that's the second book.
Yeah.
Now, you had also a list of other things.
Yeah, I thought it might be fun just to talk real quickly about some specific El Paso things.
Oh, yeah.
Since that's where we are. So Trinity Methodist Church was...
And by the way, every time you hit the table...
It goes right into the mic and my headphones.
You can't hear it because you're doing it, but I just thought I'd show you.
Sorry. Shame on me.
Oh, wait, do you have one of your books here, by the way?
I have...
Let me see one of them.
Okay.
No.
You know what I'm going to do.
These are proof copies.
See, that's why
you want to know how big the books are, drop it on the desk. And that's how big that book is.
That's why my headphones
I lost are your here. Place in there. I'm sorry about that.
I wonder why I'm that's on my left ear.
That's a big book.
It's 400 some pages.
Oh, my God.
1,400 citations.
So this is a scholarly academic kind of work.
It is. It's used by Arizona State University in their programs.
All right, George Sanchez, you better be in your car driving
your degree
to Pepe's right
there
now.
In that book.
George needs to come buy one of these books. He may show up. But go ahead.
Okay, some El Paso things real quick. Trinity Methodist here in town, the first Protestant church in El Paso, founded in 1881. The revolutionary significance is that when Pascual Orozco was killed over by Van Horn in West Texas. His body was brought back here to El Paso, and his wife was living here, and it was the pastor of Trinity Methodist who conducted his funeral. The four people that were killed with him, they had Catholic funerals, but because he was Methodist, they had a Methodist funeral, and he was buried here.
Where?
And he was buried in Concordia. And then the Trinity Methodist pastors did the what we would call the mass for his so it's an interesting tie-in with Trinity Methodist. Number two, there's a building downtown. It goes by a name, and I can't remember the name, but it used to be W.T. Grant's here in downtown El Paso. It's now a CVS pharmacy building. That building has great Mormon significance because in 1912, when the Exodus happened in July and August, they came up here, and they had all these Mormons living in lumber yards and everywhere else, and the Mormons themselves didn't know what to do, whether to go back, whether to go somewhere else. So they had a series of meetings on the second floor of that building, and they were quite contentious between two very important leaders from Salt Lake who came to help them make their decisions, Anthony Ivins and O.P. Miller, and the local leaders from Mexico. And many of the folks wanted to turn around and go back.
Would they be welcome?
Yes.
Back then, they would be shocked.
Those who stayed did not have the problems after the exodus that they'd had before, because the revolution what happened was the Rosquistas, the Colorados, the Red Flaggers, really lost a lot of power in that same month. And so they did not give the Mormons who stayed as much grief as they had before.
Yeah,
so
they actually needed them in many ways, because they were everything had been wiped out.
They had so many orchards, and as you know, they have great orchards, and they had them then, mills that were just going down.
How many people showed up here that one week? Like 4,000, wasn't it?
3,000 to 4,000 people.
And they came on the trains, obviously.
And they came on the trains from where we lived. The town where we lived is where most of them got on the trains. It was called Pearson at that time. It's Mott Ortiz now. So they came, but they didn't know what to do. Because remember, you got to remember this. The Mormon Church changed, the LDS, Latter-day Saint Church changed dramatically from 1885 to 1912, in that what had been the sign of celestial kingdom exaltation, which was plural marriage, in 1885. It was outlawed in two manifestos in 1890 and in 1904. These people were polygamous. Where were they going to go where they could practice their plural family in the United States? So they were lost. They were lost here in El Paso. So they had a series of rigorous debates in that building on the second floor that's still there. And the church decided, the outcome of the debates were, we're releasing you from all your callings and responsibility. Stay in the United States if you want to. Go back to Mexico if you want to. You do what you feel the Lord is, how the Lord is leading you. You do. That was the result of those meetings. And the minutes of those meetings are now in print. I highly recommend them, because it gives you great insight into the debate about what happened and where the folks should go.
Very, very revealing.
The third one, real quick, is Rulon Allred was a leader and patriarch of one of the fundamentalist groups that is in the news right now. He was born in Colonia Juarez. In 1906. So he was born in the LDS colonies. His grandpa was the president of the Guadalupe branch of the LDS church in Mexico. In the Exodus, his grandpa brought the family out here to El Paso that we just talked about it. The day after they got here, he said, I'm going to the hardware store. And remember, he was a high officer in the LDS church. He said, I'm going to the hardware store. We need a bathtub and something else to wash clothes, maybe a washboard. He came back. He wasn't feeling well. He died that day. He had a heart attack. And when you hear about Mormons who died here as in the Exodus, he is the most important one that actually physically died here. And he's buried in Evergreen Cemetery. And his grandson then went on to become the leading man, the president of the church and the patriarch of one of these fundamentalist groups that now the folks are living back down in Mexico.
Really?
But he's one of the Allred. It's an Allred family, Rulon Allred. His grandfather is buried here in El Paso to this day at Evergreen Cemetery.
And where is he at? He's down in Juarez or Colonia Juarez? Or?
He was born. He lived south of Colonia Dublan
in a place called Guadalupe,
which was a colony.
But it was a separate than Dublin and Juarez.
A separate colony. Okay. Yeah.
Just to make a distinction, the Colonial Juarez is also the location where the Romney family has a house, and some of them are from.
There are many Romneys in both Colonial Juarez and Colonial Dublin. Yeah.
They're a very dominant family. You got the Sanchez's and you got
George
the Romneys.
George Romney, the father of Mitt, was born in Colonia Dublan. So his home is now still there. It's a beautiful home.
Is Dublan still a really big colony, or is it? Okay, I thought Juarez was much bigger,
it's huge.
And Dublan had gotten smaller.
Well, Dublan, there are more Anglo Mormons. Well, boy, I better not say that because I don't know. So there are a very equal amount of Anglo hundreds in both Dublon and in Juarez.
Just one distinction. We've got to take a break. One distinction, Colonial Juarez is nowhere near Mexico where we are in Juarez.
No, no, I know. It's, yeah.
Just to, for
yeah.
people that need to know.
It's a small community of about 1,200, 1,300 yeah. people.
Taking a break here. Well, call us if you
Beautiful
have to.
Beautiful community.
Call us at 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Great Mexican food, steaks, chicken, and salads with draft beer and margaritas by the pitcher at Amigos Full Bar. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexican items for gifts and decor. Fun Southwest holiday shopping for the family. Bring your friends. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com for directions to Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Where's Crawford?
Making this a November to remember with a used car sales event. Only at the Crawford Buick GMC location by the airport. Crawford's used cars, SUVs, and trucks are priced to go, go, go. Like this 04 Honda Accord for $67.77. Rows of under $10,000 vehicles. Great cars and trucks and SUVs for every budget.
Selection, selection, selections.
Ask about our exclusive used car nationwide same-day locator service.
November to remember used car sales event only at Crawford Buick GMC. Montana and Airway going on now.
Let's go.
Advertised transactions or rent-to-own transaction requires 13 payments to own. Total payments for ownership equals the weekly rental price times 13.
From wearable technology to electronics and computers, the best things in life are no longer out of reach thanks to Ownable.us. Ownable lets you rent to own great new electronics quickly. You can keep renting as long as you like. Stop if you don't. After 6 months of renting, it's yours to keep forever. Shop Ownable.us to get all the top brands today. Right now, you can even save $10 off at checkout by entering promo code RADIO. That's $10 at checkout with promo code
RADIO. Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, you got to listen to this one carefully because it's Subjective Color in Membre's Black on White Pottery by Stephanie Wilsey, something like that, PhD lady. She's speaking at the Museum of Archaeology. It's free, Saturday, December 14th at 2 p.m. Now, here's the deal. The mini Membre's black on white geometric designs produce the illusion of color when rotated rapidly, much like the subjective color hallucination that has been known in the psychology of perception for more than a century. Subjective color is one of numerous neurophysiological induced visual hallucinations that are universal in human beings, produced by epilepsy, migraines, hallucinogens, certain diseases, and other causes, and apparently pottery.
Yeah, don't you remember the thing that you show on TV that spin around, well, around,
she's going to explain all that at the Museum of Archaeology about how you can hallucinate by looking at the pot.
Look at this.
Some people
circle.
Smoke it. Some people just look at it.
So, I'll put this one in here.
Anyway, December 14th. What do you got?
Okay, Sunday, November 24th at 3 p.m., Birds of the Rio Bosque Wetlands.
Tomorrow.
Wildlife Refuge at El Paso City Limits with a bird life. 244 different types of species will be recorded to date. So head on down to the Riverside Canal Bridge from about I-10 and Americas Avenue around 375. Call them at 747-8663 for more information.
Bill Stover's here for a few more minutes, and he's getting in his car and driving to Pepe's.
That's correct.
You can talk to him all afternoon.
But you got books out there you can sell them.
We'll take some
sign
books,
them, that kind
books.
Of thing.
Sure.
But the idea of your books, it's the soul of Mexico And you've got that figured out. That obviously is religious. And so you've got two books. The third one's being cooked. And how should people look at this stuff? What is a takeaway, a summary that you would give people?
Well, I think the point of my books is not to say that religion was the only factor or the key factor even in a lot of the growth and development of Mexico. But it was an important factor that has been ignored by many of the scholars, especially the theological aspects of it. So I'm trying to add one more piece to the puzzle of how Mexico has come to be as it is, and that, I believe, is the impact of both internal and external religious beliefs on the folks.
And you live there? You're one of them?
I live there. We live there.
You're one of them, being a Mennonite.
Yes.
So you're part of one of these invasion forces.
Yes. Yeah, that's correct.
And, as you call them. And so that, from your perspective, then you can sit there and look at this whole thing. And you're going to even take it a step further. You got a third book coming.
Correct.
And you're going to go back to school at the age of 70.
Correct.
And you're going to learn how to do Mexico history in England.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. See,
you got it.
I got you figured out.
Give that man a certificate.
I'll take myself to Pepe's today. That's what I'm going to do. And the whole idea of what you're doing is something that probably has never been done.
Not book length. Chapter length and a few pages here and there, but not book length.
Okay, we have about a minute left here. Any questions, Melissa, on what you have?
No, I'm just putting his picture of him and his lovely wife up on Facebook.
You have a one-minute story coming?
Oh, my goodness.
I have to put your glasses back on and read your notes.
No,
the whole idea of your books, though, is to inform people stuff they don't know.
Yeah, I would highly recommend people look into the curanderos in northern Mexico, because the curanderos are a fascinating part of religious psychological healing in the lives of many people. We have many people in our town today that would go to the local curandero before they'll go to a medical doctor.
And this is something that's covered in the second book?
Yes.
Second book, name the two books again.
Okay, the first book is The Search for the Soul of Mexico is the title. Volume 1 is Religion and Revolution. Volume 2 is The Anglo Quest for Naboth's Vineyard.
Books available.
And the curanderos are in Volume 1.
Books are available today at Pepe's and otherwise on Amazon or whatever?
Yes, they're on Amazon. They're on Ingram. You can buy them at your local bookstore if
what
you want
Ingram?
To. Special order.
Ingram.
Ingram is the university library.
Is it like ingram.com?
We are out of here for today. Can you imagine that? I want to thank the people in the control room in there. Shelley Sutherland doing her thing in there. And Sergio Valenzuela. Thank you very much for what you do. We're going to come back here next week and try this again. What do you think?
I think so.
Have a happy Thanksgiving. Good luck with
Same
the parade.
We'll be at the parade.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, ephistory.com. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.
Our 2019 iHeartRadio Music Festival, coming back to the CW, 16 of the biggest music artists in the world, two nights, one